Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a beautiful sunny afternoon in a Den car park, and a man's come over from Australia and he's brought the Australian weather with him. It's Jimmy Webb. How are you doing, Jim?
I might have brought the Australian sunshine, but I brought the Australian temperature.
Deep Australian midwinter from the southern parts.
I'm wondering why all these strange people walking around in shorts and t-shirts. And I'm thinking of actually being so desperate, walking to the shop and buying another jumper.
I got out of the car thinking, oh, it's a bit warm. I don't know if I put my jacket on, but I think I'm glad I made the right choice and brought the old jacket with me. How are you doing, mate? It's great to see you.
Yeah, no, I'm good. It's nice to be back. It's been 3 years since I've been back, so... I think we lost that game as well, so...
real bad luck. Hey, Jim's come just as the playoff surge has gone off the boil. The last time I saw you was about 20 years ago, so we had a race to meet. And all I've got is this image of a 20 years ago Jimmy Webb. But you've lost a bit of weight. You're looking well, mate. That's the Australian lifestyle for you.
It's the Australian way. It's the lifestyle. It's the laid-back attitude. It's the hot weather. The nice beaches. You know, and it's all be good. And I said to Nick earlier, I'd like to make an official apology to everyone. But
In advance.
During that streak where it was the Millwall train, wasn't it, that he was going about?
The Railway Express.
The Railway Express.
It's come off the rails, Jim.
I would like to please accept my apologies, because I did check the price of flights at the playoff final weekend, and ever since then it's been 1 point. So
we all did that. We've all done that. I'm away that week, and I'm looking, well, could I drive back? We're up in Norfolk. I'll drive back for that, you know, if we get there. But it's looking like a remote possibility,
yeah,
Jim.
I feel like I've done for confession.
I've got to say, you're in Perth. It looks idyllic, mate. I mean, talk about a change in... lifestyle and the world apart. And I had a quick look on the Google Streets, like you do, you know, out in Perth. It looks fantastic, mate. How are you finding it?
I mean, I've been there for 14 years now. It is a completely different way of life. Perth in Western Australia, or WA, which the locals call Wait a While, you know. And wait a while. And I'll give you an example. You go in, you order a coffee.
Yeah.
And you wait a while, and then eventually, and then I come here, we're going to Starbucks, and like with my dad, and he was like, after about 30 seconds, where's my coffee?
Go, go, go.
I'm like, chill out, everybody, you know, the coffee's coming, you know.
So. I've never been to Australia, but I'm going to guess that the driving is a lot less frenetic than central London on a peak day.
The whole way of life, I mean, obviously, I've not been back for 3 years, and every time I come back, I just notice it seems to be a lot more busier, a lot more crowded, hyper, everyone seems to be on edge.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Well, you've come to the right place. Millwall's a very relaxed environment, Jim. when the playoffs are looking like they're just out of touch now.
It's probably the most relaxed I've been at since I've arrived on Wednesday, you know. So, it's good to be back, and let's hope to get the Railway Express back on the track.
Let's hope so. It's great to see you here, mate. Really, really good. Let's not leave it another 20 years before we catch up.
You've got to come to me next time, yeah. Well, I'll say we had the Ashes just gone, which we won't talk about that too much. But maybe, you know, in 4 years' time, come over for the test match.
That sounds great.
You know, nice 40-degree days in the sunshine. Well, we'll be in the shade.
You're selling it to me, Jim. You're selling it to me.
We'll go to the cricket, and then in the evening we'll just sit around the pool, have a nice cold drink.
I'll go there and be a burden on the Australian version of the National Health Service instead.
Yeah.
Great to see you, Jim.
Thanks, mate.
You're listening to Aston Millwall, broadcasting from the beautiful South Birmingham. Accept no substitute.
Welcome, 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 dear listeners. Welcome to Afton Millwall. Beautiful sunny afternoon here in South Bermondsey. Welcome to this championship fixture between Millwall and Barnsley. Dear listeners, I have a little, I think it's a poem. I've actually written a poem to start us off with today. Dear listeners, has our hawks bolted? Has our ship sailed? Getting beat by Swansea in midweek surely saw our playoff chances nailed. I thought I'd go try and get a little bit of culture into the show, listeners. That's my effort at Millwall poetry. Mathematically, it is still possible for us to chase down that sixth spot. I'm just looking at the championship table. Sheffield United 6 points in front of us on 64. Millwall in 10th position on 58. As I say, mathematically possible. I do rather get a sense it's Fermat's last theorem. Theorem, as my old man would have said. Theorem in English. So an unsolvable equation potentially, but we need a win if that's going to have even the remote chance, an ultimate fuel chance of coming off, dear listeners. Your Millwall team today, two changes for the Lions. Bart Bielkowski in goal, back line Murray Wallace, Jake Cooper, Dan Ballard, Scott Malone, Dan McNamara on either side of them. Keith Dunbell comes into midfield with alongside Billy Mitchell. Some disagreement with that online I saw. Why is Mitchell playing over not Saville? Don't know, take your pick. Keith and Mitchell in midfield. Up front, Ollie Burke starts this afternoon alongside Bennett Afobe and Jed Wallace. The ever-optimistic Dan McNamara is refusing to rule out Millwall from the championship promotion race, despite my snarky comments at the start of the show, and despite their lengthy unbeaten run coming to an end on so disappointingly against Swansea on Tuesday night. Dan says, we've got a massive six games coming up and we're not that far off the playoffs. It's still there for the taking, says Dan. We've just got to give it all our all and we're going to start doing exactly that. Millwall going to be kicking us off, attacking the away end in the first half. In accordance with the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, written by the Venerable Bede back in 9th century England. Barnsley in all white this afternoon, Lions in their familiar dark blue and white shorts. And away we go. The Barnsley manager, Poya Asbaghi, said the Tykes, the Barnsley Tykes, they've got a must win. They're in the relegation zone. They are on 29 points, 8 points short of Reading. Here they are on the attack. There's a shot across the face of the goal on the right side. That was a close run thing, damnably close, as the Duke of Wellington might have said. We're not inside the first minute yet. It's gone for a left-sided corner to Barnsley. So early jitters for the Lions, dear listeners. We looked at our best, I thought, on Tuesday when we actually took the game. That's going to go for a corner. Dan Ballard under some pressure there on the left. Early pressure, only 2 minutes now. Another left-sided corner for Barnsley. And it comes from the left. It's towards the near post. It's headed up and away. Jed controls of his chest. Barnsley pressing high, but it is cleared by Jed Wallace, thankfully. Rather a lurid shade of pink-clad goalkeeper. Bart at the other end in a rather lurid shade of lime green. Cool and windy, beautiful, brilliant early spring sunshine. Dear listeners, it's not cold, but it's not warm. Good day for football. It was actually the start of the county cricket season on Thursday, listeners. I actually had the madcap idea that I might toddle along to the county ground at Chelmsford, watch Essex play Kent. I went out for a walk in the morning and the breeze was extremely stiff. The wind chill was something else, so I gave it a miss. It does seem very early to be starting games of cricket. And I didn't envy any of the players. The Kent side were in the field all day. I could just picture the rubbing your hands to keep warm and the impact of those hard cricket balls on cold hands. So anyway, I wasn't there for that, listeners. One of my mad, I get mad ideas, so I might do things and then reality tends to intrude on them. It's the 28 coming down our right side. They look like a bright side, Barnsley, the four, about halfway inside the middle half. Comes on 6 minutes. Mill forcing them backwards. A lot of injuries so far for the Barnsley players. They're going to use every opportunity they can take to slowed proceedings down, killed a game in the hope of nicking a goal. I mean, it's pretty much worked with Swansea by the possession method in their case, but also a bit of rolling around on the floor when the occasion demanded. We've got to find a way to break these kinds of sides down. We seem to struggle against them. Early in the game, too early to be saying that we're struggling here, listeners, but at the moment, no obvious signs of how we're going to break this down. I mean, a goal will go a long way towards solving that conundrum, so you have to bring them out if they want to get anything out of the game. Anyway, free kick, left side, Scott Malone. It's going to be a deep... No, it's taken short to Jed. Back to Malone, who's crossed now, floats in, that's behind Jake Cooper, unfortunately. Keithenbell, nice ball in from midfield into Wolves Ballard. Cooper headed around, falls to Burke, it falls to Ballard on the volley, into the ground, not sufficient power of direction, but the goalkeeper does save it. It was nice effort, on target. 22 minutes, goalkeeper's gone down, every time he makes a save, he's going down injured. You can hear the crowd's reaction. A fragile Ming vase that you put the flowers in, listeners, or stuck it in the dishwasher or something. Goalkeeper making as if he can't continue. He's coming off. Substitute goalkeeper coming in. Barnsley's tactics so far, they seem to be a passing team when they want to play some football, but so far their kind of breaking up style has taken a lot of the sting out of the game. It's 25 minutes now, and there's a real sense of aimlessness about the place, which we need to change if we're going to have even the remotest chance of Fermat's last theorem. Ball down the left side. Burke collects it in the five, pushes him down. That's got to be a free kick. As he was trying to cut inside, the five takes him down. He's going to get a yellow card for that. Free kick in a dangerous position. Kick from the left there. Malone takes. He's chipped it into the middle. There's a header of Jake Cooper. Not enough power downwards into the arms of the goalkeeper. Long ball finds the four inside the middle penalty. There's a big chance. Great save at the near post by Bart Bielkowski. He was cutting in from the right side. He shot at that right-sided near post, and Bart got down very, very well. That was a basic long ball. I mean, after all the farting around we've had from Barnsley, that was basically a kick out from the goalkeeper finding a four through on goal inside the middle penalty. 27 and a half minutes. It's a right-sided corner for Barnsley. And it comes near post. That is... referee blows for something there, listeners, so that's that. Conor Mahoney is leaving the club, listeners. I did mention it in that random fixture show that I put out yesterday, but Conor Mahoney, it was announced in the week, will not be offered a new deal and will be leaving the club at the end of the season. One of the more enigmatic figures of recent years, a big signing, £1.2 million when we signed him, reported on the Mill History website. How accurate that is, I don't know. That's believed to be £1.2 million. And in moments and on occasions, Connor showed some real flair and skill, mostly against Luton Town whenever we played them. But he's not featured and clearly doesn't, he's not on Gary Rowett's radar, hasn't been for some time, and I don't think this news came as any surprise to anyone, probably least of all Conor Mahoney. So he will be leaving us. It's just interesting that on a day where we're at the moment still yet to break down the side massed in front of us, a player that can dribble the ball is not seen as having a future. Now, there may be good reasons why, and I don't see him regularly enough to make that judgment. And, you know, like all wingers, he does tend to be inconsistent. I mean, I'm thinking back to the likes of James Henry and Christophe Kinney and others in Mill history. But it's just odd that we can't find space for a player that's clearly got talent but can't seem to get it together to apply it. Nicely worked. That's going to be Jed Wallace. He's onside. Ball the flag, muck him up on the left side in the middle. It falls to Danny Mack. 1-0, Mangwell! Danny Mack! 1-0 the Lions! Slammed over as the crowd, the cross came from the left. Danny Mack lurked on the right side. It found its way through to him. Slammed it home with aplomb. 1-0 Millwall! Delete everything I just said, listeners. Delete it! Don't listen to it. I never said it. Nicely worked goal by the Lions. Let's have a look at it. left side, ball through, finds Jed Wallace on the left side. I thought he was offside, but he's the flag stayed down. Cross comes in, it beats Benningafobi, and there's Danny Mack lurking with intent behind Benningafobi. 1-0 Millwall. Bolton are going to have to come out of their shell now, listeners. That's got the den livened up as well. It's brought the crowd into play. It's a bit soporific. You know, a lot of criticism for Billy after that midweek fixture, but he tackles very, very well, Billy. There may be areas of his game, such as his forward play. I mean, I think we collectively can agree that we lack a decent attacking midfielder. Whether that's going to be Billy Mitchell or whether he's a defensive-minded midfielder, I think probably the latter, but his tackling is excellent and you can't argue with his commitment or Millwall credentials, if that's a factor in anyone's consideration. I don't know. It seems to me only where people expect more out of a Millwall player than a non-Millwall supporting player. Unfair. 34 minutes. Speaking after the Swansea game, slightly odd. I mean, I suppose you can overthink managers' comments, listeners, and old enough to remember people picking over the words of Pravda in the days of the Soviet Union, trying to read between the lines. But Gary Rowett speaking to Richard Corley, London News Online, says we knew top six was a massive challenge anyway. He says after the Swansea loss midweek, which sounds like he's not convinced that we're going to do it himself, which is fine, but probably is the kind of opinion best kept behind the manager's door until it's mathematically off the agenda. Beautiful little back heel there, Billy Mitchell almost pulling off a Murray Wallace turn, no longer called the Cruyff turn, listeners, it's now called the Murray Wallace turn. This is Jed Wallace on the left side. Run into the box on the left, that's going to be crossed back into the danger zone. No one there, only white shirts, sadly, listeners. Last 15 seconds of the five, I think that should do us for the first half. It's been a funny old half. A lot of stop-start. Early chance, of course, I think, inside the first minute, I believe, isn't it, for Barnsley. The goal has changed the course of that first half. Since then, stop-start has continued, and it's been more in Millwall's favour than Barnsley's favour. So there we are, half-time, Lions leading this must-win game, thankfully, so far, 1-0.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Second half's underway, listeners. I've been chatting half-time with the boys, the journalistic talent, Aaron, Ryan, Michael Avery, and a few people en route as I walked through the West Ham. It's an odd sense. We are leading and the outside run is still on, but ball in from the left is Scott Malone, deep, that's 2-0, Danny Mack. Just as I was going to make a downbeat point, we've got a scored. I was just about to say it's like no one believes in it, and lo and behold, Danny Mack believes in it, dear listeners. It's 2-0, ball in from the left side, cross deep. Danny Mack lurks at the far post, nods it in with aplomb. 2-0 Millwall. Straight from kickoff, near enough. That's shut me up, listeners. That has shut me up, isn't it? Let's have a look at the replay. Ball's coming from the left, a deep cross from Scott Malone, and then there's Danny Mack at the far post to put it away. He's on a hat-trick. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That'd be wonderful. That's a story. I want the story. Good goal. 2-0 Millwall. We should not be letting this go now, should we? Not against this team, anyway. I thought Barnsley were... I compared them in one of my tweets to a burger and chips that I had when I was in the hospital. It looked promising, and I was really glad to see it after the my bit of trouble. But what tasted it, had no taste whatsoever. The chips tasted much the same as the bun and the burger. No personality, no taste, no nothing. So that's Barnsley FC so far for me. Shoot, they're saying now to Danny Mack. Ball chipped over the top of the 14. Ball bouncing around in the penalty. That's 2-1. Buried by the 27. The 21. Ball down the left side. That's sloppy by Millwall. Ball forwards, headed downwards, and it actually buried with verve by the 21. 2-1 Millwall. That's what you get for sloppy defence. Here comes Barnsley again on the right side. 49 minutes. An eventful opening 4 minutes of the second half, listeners, to say the least. Mill just looking a little bit jittery in defence. There is a lot at stake still. I mean, I know that it's, as we've said a few times, it's the proverbial long shot, but there is still the possibility of a run on the top six. There's going to be a free kick now for Barnsley, just on the left side of the penalty area, about 3 or 4 yards short of the left side of the penalty area. Ticking towards 50 minutes. Here we go, the 27. Shots on target, it's over the bar, thankfully. It goes without saying that Millwall should not be giving up 2-0 leads when you know the stake table is piled high, listeners, should they? Left-sided corner, and it comes. It's deep, deep, deep. Jake rises like a salmon. It's Billy Mitchell on the edge of the penalty. He's got Jed straight behind him. Right side. Jed finds some space. He's floated the ball back deep across the... Oh! Yeah, it's in the net! Headed on target. Who was that? Was that Oliver Burke? It was Oliver Burke at the left-sided post. Headed home. It almost seemed to hit the bar and come back out. It crossed the line. It's 3-1 Millwall, dear listeners. A moment there where I wasn't sure whether it actually got into the net. It did. Let's have a look at the replay. Ollie Burke with a header. Let's watch it again. It's a Jed cross from the right side. It's a deep one. Burke rises. The goalkeeper pushes it onto the post and it's poked home. I think they may have crossed the line from that initial header. Hard to tell from my vantage point, listeners, but it is a goal. It's 3-1. Lions back in control of the game. 58 minutes. Well, the crowd haven't discounted the possibility of Fermat's last theorem, ladies and gentlemen. Neither should you and I. Lions finally looking like they're in control of this game. Or is that too soon to tempt Lady Fate? I think it might be. 59 minutes on the stadium clock. Barnsley are on the attack here. They've looked to... given them time and space. They look a dangerous side. That's a shot block there. This is Benikophobe. Back to a white shirt. This is the 28. Dangerous looking player in my opinion. They've actually got some players that might interest one or two sides. Presuming that Barnsley do get relegated. There's a shot high over the bar from the four. I'm hoping the right side Millwall flag on the Dockers stand opposite. There's two Millwall blue flags and a St George's cross in the middle, but the right-sided Millwall flag has come away at the bottom attachment, so it's just hanging from the top attachment only. And it's fluttering in the wind like an old... sometimes you see in abandoned properties, like old curtains hang from the windows when they've fallen off the rails. Or if you ever... I don't know if you've ever had the chance to look at an abandoned house's washing line, often you'll find a single vest attached by a solitary clip to the washing line, and it looks a bit like that over there. So I'm hoping for the dignity of Millwall Football Club that can be dealt with over the course of the summertime. The 29 has just come on. He's a big boy. He looks like he's built like a prize fighter. He's just left a stinging tackle on Dan Ballard. Don't know his name. We'll not find out his name, listeners, because that's not the nature of our show, is it? But he's a big boy. Barnsley passing the ball with a bit more personality than they had in that first half now. They've clearly, as I've said, got some talented boys. That's put behind by Dane Ballard under attention of the 29. It's going to be a left-sided corner. Ticking down to 67 minutes. Today is Community Day. I've actually only just noticed the normal Husky sponsorship has been replaced by the Mill Community Trust logo on the player's shirt. How far are we? We're 67 minutes into the game. We've only just noticed we've got a different sponsor on our shirts today, listeners. That's the level of quality of observation that you pay. Well, you don't pay anything for it. You listen to an advert. This is not recast. You don't pay anything. They have no credit system here, listeners. But we're sponsored today by the Mill Community Trust. I know there was a collection outside for the Lions Food Hub. Fantastic. Well, all of our advertising money goes to assist the Lions Food Hub, listeners. We don't take any money from the show whatsoever. Never have done, never will do. It's not the way we work. We give it all to charity. Ball breaks. Danny Mack, ball down the right side. This is Ollie Burke. The flag goes up for offside. I question that decision, listeners. So yeah, community day, there was collections going on outside of the MCT and Lions Food Hub. Always two bodies, the Community Trust does fantastic work in the community around here. Bermondsey SE16 area, they had a little video playing before the game today. And the Food Hub, well, you know all about that. That's how important that is in these tough, tough times that everyone's going through at the moment. A lot of people depend on Food Hubs. And not least our own Bermondsey one here at Millwall Lions Food Hub. So we will continue to support the Lions Food Hub. I won't have it any other way, listeners. 68 going towards 69 minutes. Long ball falls from the free kick. Ball falls. This is Bennett Afobe on the left side. That's 4-1. Bennett buries it from the free kick forwards. Headed down, falls into the path of Bennett Afobe, and he puts it away. Like a king, listener, 72 minutes, 4-1 Millwall. That's more like it, dear listeners. The Bennett Afobe song, the Seven Nation Army comes out. Let's have a look at the replay. It's a long ball forwards, it's headed down. Free kick, long ball forwards. Right side is Jake Cooper on it, it falls to Bennett Afobe, who actually puts it away, kind of a bouncing finish into the right side of the net. 4-1. Game set and match from the moment that Danny Mack headed in that first goal of the second half. 2-0 at that stage. We've looked dangerous when we've gone forwards. One slip up being that goal conceded to Barnsley. They've certainly got some players with potential. They don't seem to operate particularly effectively as a unit, but the Lions have taken them to the sword. Five games to go after today's, hopefully now, victory. 4-1 with 15 minutes to go. You'd expect us to close this out, wouldn't you? We need four wins. We've got that's the minimum ask. At least I suppose it's a clear task. We've shown some belief in the second half. I wasn't quite convinced at half time. We show that, we did. The players and the squad have proven the doubting Thomases, or in this case the doubting Nicholases, wrong in the second half. And we're going to take this forward now next week on Good Friday. We'll go to Preston. Need a win at Preston, listeners. This is a substitution, 76 minutes. Tyler Bury's coming in. Oliver Burke gets a standing ovation from the den. In comes Tyler Bury. Ball in now from Scott Malone from the left side. That's far post. There's Danny Mack lurking, but it's over his head on this occasion. 77 minutes. Yeah, I was going to go to Preston. Can't make the Birmingham game. Got a wedding that day to go to, unfortunately, so can't make that one. But I will be going to the final game of the season at Bournemouth. I renewed my... I'm going to let you into the secret world of Nick Hartner. One of my secret pleasures is that one of the few benefits of getting older, listeners, is you get cheap travel. And I've got a senior rail card. And I managed to get a ticket to Bournemouth on the last game of the season, 9 o'clock out of Waterloo. So if you're on that train, come and find me. Let's hope there's something on the line. I thought it'd just be nice to cover the final game of the season. So I will be there. I'll be at Dean Court, the Vitality Stadium, whatever they call it now. Ball breaks. This is Bennett Afobe on the right side. He's attacking his man in front of him. He's run into trouble. Jed tries to dink it through. Panic stations clearance. 78 minutes. Mill right-sided throwing. Yeah, you get an Oyster card for nothing. I'm getting myself to Waterloo for nothing, and then £20 ticket to go return to Bournemouth. So, why the hell not? Thank you, Sadiq Khan. It's about the only thing I've ever had calls to thank him for. There was a distinct pleasure in getting cheaper tickets because of your age. One of the non-league sides, I think it was Ebbsfleet. Their definition of they have over 60s, which I fall into. Most of them are over 65. Millwall seem to have a thing moving the designation just out of my reach. There's Mill on the brakes. It's Tyler Bury on the left side, dribbling through. Can he do? It's ball into the. I thought it was bound for the goal. It's gone for a left-sided corner. So these are the pleasures of old age, listeners. Another substitution. Ryan Leonard. Coming in. Jed Wallace coming out. McNamara coming out for Ryan Leonard. Bradshaw coming in. Looks like Jed Wallace is coming out of the game. I understand this substitution. I didn't understand it midweek, listeners. But I do understand it and agree with it. And take my hat off to Gary Rowett's footballing acumen. He's brought Tom Bradshaw in for Jed Wallace there. Last 10 minutes of the game.
28 takes the corner. It's in at the near post. Keith Dumbeld heads it away just.
Lovely move there by Scott Malone from defence. Millwall men in front of goal. This is Tom Bradshaw. This is Tyner Bury. What can he do? He checks the goal at the Barnsley defence, managed to make it back there. It was a moment where we were 3-1. But they did manage to recover their position there, listeners. Tyler just ball wide right. He just couldn't quite make the breakthrough there. Ball breaks. Tyler Bury on the left. He's got 20 seconds to make his mark on the game if he can. He's attacking his man down the left side. What can he do? He's paused. He's got no support there, unfortunately. This is Scott Malone. Referee calls full time. Good win. Excellent second half performance from the Lions. 1-0 at half time. That early goal from Danny Mac to certain a lot of nerves. Two goal Danny Mac, I should call him. Otherwise, been a very good, strong attacking performance from the Lions in the second half. Just what we needed when we needed it. Man of the match, as I've said, for me, I'm going to go with Danny Mac with Billy Mitch as a strong second choice. There we are, dear listeners. Let's hope the. Is that the first part in Fermat's last theorem? The win sequence we need from here? I don't know. Certainly the first part of the jigsaw is in place. We'll be right back after these messages.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Hi Nick, John Rankin here, just ringing in with the views on the 4-1 trouncing of Barnsley. Fantastic afternoon to be at the Den, especially with Danny McNamara scoring his two goals. Absolutely brilliant, and a real privilege to be in the Colebrow Lane end and see him score his second goal. It was a nervy old start, though, to the game, I've got to say. It's quite interesting, this format. I know there's been some chat about the format that Gary Rowett plays. It's a very, very wide format. And the amount of work that Billy Mitchell and Michael Kiefenbelt had to get through to keep a presence in the midfield was absolutely astounding. Hats off to them. So it was a good all-round performance. Barnsley could have been in front, though, very early doors. They had some chances in the Colebrow Lane end, and it was only Bart that kept us in the game. So there were moments when it was looking very shaky, and I still feel that this system, this wide five defensive players and two in the middle, leaves us exposed sometimes. But you can't take anything away from the goals. I mean, where there was loads of chances. It was a great afternoon at the Den. Brilliant to be there. Fantastic to see. And I think you know, the lads deserved it, really. It was a good atmosphere. It was a good attendance. Barnsley weren't great, but they did play some nice possession football. But, you know, we were stronger. And I was just really, really pleased that Danny McNamara got those two goals and I was pleased with how well Billy Mitchell played. He's coming for a lot of stick recently on the from various sources, and I think it's undeserved.
Wow, didn't see that one coming. 4-1. What a quality performance. I can't remember a home performance like that for a little while. And I guess Barnsley, well, they haven't had a spanking like that since Maggie absolutely caned King Arthur and closed their coal mines back in the 1980s or whenever it was. Fair play to Danny McNamara. Very, very unlucky to be taken off on a hat-trick. I think we've all been waiting for him to score his first goal for the club. And then, like a London bus, it pops along with a second one. That's a fantastic little header. Oliver Burke looked decent today, didn't he? Showed a glimpse of it last week. Didn't have the best game, I think, in midweek. But then today showed that he's definitely got something to offer there. I thought he looked a lot better than Jed Wallace, to be honest with you. Strong at the back again. Although we did give away a silly goal, didn't we? And you kind of thought, oh God, it's not going to be one of those afternoons, is it? Because they piled on a little bit of pressure afterwards, but we withstood it and then we came back and absolutely routed them. Looked very strong up front again. I thought towards the end, Tyler Bury could probably have scored if he hadn't have taken a poor touch after getting in the way, after getting a bit of a tangle with Bradshaw. I think he should have maybe have hit that first time. But hey-ho, 4-1 at home. You can't complain. The dream of the playoffs still live on, even though it's pretty much outside bet, I think, that will make them. But it's still good to be going into this stage of the season with something to play for and something to aim for. So they're not just dead games between now and the end of the season where everybody's sat back and thinking of the sun loungers and the swimming pools that will come by later on in a couple of weeks' time. Anyway, up to Preston on Friday. Look forward to that. Hopefully we can get 3 more points. And the Rowett Express carries on, Nick.
Hi, Nick. This is David Lieder-Kramer. After a fairly eventful game at the Den, I didn't think it was actually a 4-1 game, really, in the sense that I didn't think we played that well. Perhaps we were aided by their substitute keeper. First half was pretty drab. McNamara was the man of the match well before even he scored the couple of goals that he did, in my opinion. He was he had a great performance. I'm not sure we're going to really get into the playoffs. It looks to me as if it's just a bit too difficult, really. But hey, with 5 games to go, we're still in the mix, and that's something that I never thought I'd be saying perhaps back in January. So on to Preston next week. Let's hope we can get 3 points there. Decent performance. Can't complain about four goals, but it just didn't quite feel a 4-1 game in some ways, which is perhaps a bit of an odd thing to say. Come on, you Lions.
And a 4-1 win, dear listeners, we leave the Den. And for those who've been saying the playoff dream is gone, it's still lingering. It's still lingering as the reality that is Millwall Football Club's trying to doze back off and keep dreaming about it, because it's still lingering, and we want to keep it positive. But what a way to do it. First half, I have to be honest, we're 1-0. Very flat first half except for the goal. Barnsley, I did go into the game thinking they was a bit of a bogey team for us, and the fact that, you know, we historically lost them in the playoffs a few years back, then they beat us a couple of years later, and always a team we struggled against recently. I was a bit apprehensive, and I would have took a 1-1. In truth, would have took a 1-1, and I thought that's how the game was going. We got the goal from Danny McNamara, and then second half it was a different side. It was brilliant. It was good to see. You know, we moved the ball quite well. Barnsley weren't in the game. I know they had their freak goal, but they didn't really do that much. I recall Bart having to make a sort of punch save. So from where I was sat, the ball must have swerved in the air slightly. But we were never really under any real danger in that game. And it became the Danny McNamara show, didn't it? He did very, very well with his two goals. And yeah, when we nearly got that late penalty at the end that was right near the edge of the box, I bet McNamara would have been asked to get back on to take the penalty. But yeah, as we said before, we were hoiked out then, hoiked out. Hooliganism at Acton Mill, ladies and gentlemen, and all those other listeners, because we were asked to leave. We was asked to leave the Den during recording, but we was asking them what were the odds of a fullback scoring a hat-trick and win the last time that was. So we just need the next stato to find out who that was. But good performance by everyone at Mill today. McNamara will steal the headlines. But again, for me personally, as the vice president of the Benica Fobe fan club, I thought he was excellent today. Held up the ball well. If you watch the replay as well for McNamara's second goal, the header on the far post, Fobe does fantastic work in that corner, holding the ball up and laying it back for the cross. Got his goal well as well. And I just think he is a good class player. Yes, as I said to Mr. Loftus and Mr. Paul at the end of the game, yes, he's not going to get you your 20, 25 goals, but he certainly has got a talent and a ability that is above other players that we have in our side. But is he worth the punt? That is the question that needs to be asked. And, you know, things like wages and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, another good Millwall performance considering we was missing a couple of players like Hutch and Saville. Do we keep dreaming? Do we? I know there was talk in the week that it's over now. And, you know, you're looking at 3 or 4 wins from 5. Let's keep... Do you know what? There's been some negativity questioned on our pod. So let's stay positive. 3 out of 4 wins is achievable in a division where you can sneak into that playoffs on the last day. So it's still there to play for. I have belief. 5 minutes to the Grand National, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just hope. I'll get another winner. Update to follow.
No, didn't win the Grand National, but at least we won 4-1. Come on, your Lions.
Hi, Nick. It's Matt Richards. That's a good game. Yeah, happy with that. I often see 4 goals down the Den, so you'll take that any time. It's a good performance. I thought it was a bit flat in the ground to start off with. But then I suppose that's to be understood after last weekend's and the game against Swansea results, really. But it all seemed to be that sort of game. Once you scored one goal, we'd kind of nick it a couple more and win quite comfortably. I know they had a chance early on. Bart's made another really good save. But, yeah, nice. Really, Mac, he deserved that, really. That's what he's came, game's probably just been missing that, really. Just the final bit, either assist or goals, and really pleased for him today. He played really well. Billy Mitchell, I thought, was man of the match. He's just actually everywhere. He's the engine room today of the game. Phoebe done brilliant. I mean, yeah, the second goal was superb bit of skill by him. And, Burke scuffed it, didn't he? But he's on the score sheet on Phoebe as well. So it's a good win. You know, I mean, I think it's too late for us. I don't know. Who knows? We've just got to keep winning, I guess, really. But it's a good result today. And it's another pleasing day down the Den. So come on, you Lions.
Achtung, Millwall.
Listeners, there is a graphic doing the rounds on Millwall Twitter. It features Hope at the head of a triangle. Hope sits at the top. Disappointment sits on the right-hand side. And start believing again. Belief sits on the left-hand side. That's called the eternal Mill triangle. Hope, disappointment, and belief leading to more hope, leading to disappointment. To consider yesterday's game within the place of that Mill triangle of hell is today's very welcome guest, Mr. Ben Anthony. Welcome back to the show, Ben.
Hello, Nick. How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, I'm just trying. I think I'm probably on the on the hope point now of the triangle once again. The midweek put us into disappointment. And now we're back at the belief and hope part of that triangle. After yesterday's 4-1 win, of course, listeners, over Barnsley at the Den. Funny old game, really, Ben, yesterday. I thought we might struggle a little bit for large chunks of of a first half where Barnsley looked like a I made a note to myself, they looked like a Swansea light, you know, the Swansea stripped of any personality. They passed the ball not quite as well as Swansea, but in that modern way. And we struggle against those sides, don't we?
Yeah, and we often struggle against Barnsley as well. They're our bogey team traditionally. Yeah, we did let them play their game a little bit in the first half, which is where we fell short against Swansea. I thought against Swansea the other day, it wasn't until we started pressing them after about 60 minutes to try and get back in the game, put them under a bit of pressure, that Swansea started making mistakes and giving us some chances.
Yeah.
And the same sort of thing was happening in the first half yesterday. We let them play their game and we didn't put them under too much pressure. And I think there just sort of came a moment, I'm not entirely sure when it was, probably after about 20 minutes or so, when we sort of thought, there's not a lot going on with this lot. We can play our game, and then we seem to gain a bit of confidence.
We did. We started a bit cold, didn't we? I mean, there's a couple of early kind of tight angled chances that Barnsley worked from, pretty basic balls forward, actually, for all their triangles and beautiful passing. It was actually a long ball for both, I think, both chances, if memory serves, but they seemed to come from long balls out, and Bart did well for both. They were both fairly tight angled shots, but he needed to do his job, and he did, and that kept us. Well, one thing that struck me yesterday was that we seemed to be recovering our steel, because I mean, obviously, once jumping ahead a little bit, once we went 2-0 up early in the second half, we did concede a sloppy goal, and we stood a chance in that early phase of conceding sloppily there too. But you don't know how the game will go if you give away a goal too soon, and I thought that was that. We just seemed to be not quite on it in the early stages. The goal, really, Danny Mac's goal on 31 minutes was the decisive moment. Jed crossing from the left, and I love the official club tweet, Ben's claim that Burke dummied that ball as it went across the 6-yard box. I think he missed it, mate. Which yeah. I'll forgive him, because Danny Mac lurked and put it away with aplomb. But I just love the idea that he dummied that when actually he didn't seem to get close to the ball at all.
I'm sure if you asked him now, he'd say he did dummy it.
Mm.
Fully intentional.
He meant it. A nice finish by Danny Mac for his, for 1-0. I think that was his first goal for the club, wasn't it?
It's been coming, though. He's breaking in the box a little bit more, having a shot every now and again, and he's been a bit unlucky, and it was good to see it work for him. His 50th appearance, I think, as well.
Yeah, I was just reading Gary Rowett's post-match comments, actually, where he says that one of the areas of Danny's game that they're working on with Robinson and the assistant manager, what's his name, Ball Bloke, can't think of his name, what's that?
Barrett.
I could see his face and I couldn't think of his name. This is what happens to your listeners when you get old. But they're working on that aspect of Danny's game, and it paid off handsomely yesterday. I went 1-0 at half time, and I must admit, I thought that it wasn't a done deal at half time. I thought we should have been good enough, Ben, to deal with Barnsley. But at 1-0, you can never say never, can you? But and to score so soon after the kickoff of the second half was a real boost, I thought. And again, that man again, Danny Mac. From some wonderful skill from Benicophobia. I don't know if you appreciate that in real time, Ben. From my vantage point, I couldn't really appreciate how good Benicophobia was on the ball with a kind of backheel pass. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's not until seeing the highlights just how good that was, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Top class.
Yeah. And another good sort of ball in.
Yeah. Some good beautiful cross
on display yesterday.
Yeah, good cross, deep cross, found Danny Mac. I think that was Malone. I believe it was Malone, listeners, to correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, put the ball in deep. And it was headed in again by Danny Mac at the far post, 47. I must admit, I relaxed considerably. I think the team did also pin at that point. I mean, they took the foot off the accelerator with that sloppy, and it was sloppy goal on for 2-1. I know it doesn't do to be churlish when you've put four past the side, but it was just slack defending. It was a very limp header out from another ball into the box by Dan Ballard. straight to the feet of the oncoming Barnsley striker. You know, I think it doesn't sit right in the aftermath of a 4-1 win to be too critical, but that's an area that we do need to... Getting caught defensively has been a little bit of a recent development in that defence. I just think we need to keep... If we're going to make anything of the season, we need to keep it tight. We can't afford those moments.
Yeah, well, isn't it the phrase, you're in your most danger when you just scored?
Vulnerable, a dangerous lead. 2-0's a dangerous lead, yeah.
Yeah, well, it is for Millwall, yeah. I think against Luton, we did a similar thing. It wasn't too long after we'd taken the lead that we sort of conceded it.
Yeah.
So we do need to watch that and just be a bit aware.
Just stay switched on. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we went on quite a nice run of keeping clean sheets for a while. And
I know.
Start to wonder where that's gone.
I think the tension of the moment, I mean, we've established a 2-0 lead early in the second half. I suppose there's a sense of game set and match about the place. I know I certainly felt a lot less burdened with the weight of the game at that point, and maybe that translates into the team. But we were soon back at it again. The bit that I touched on earlier on about the showing steel, I mean, we could have gone behind early in the game, but we didn't. Mm-hmm. But to go behind, not go behind, but to have our lead immediately reduced in that way might have put the jitters amongst the side. But actually, we showed good steel and clawed our way back into the game, which we weren't out of. But potentially, we could have got away from us at that point to go 3-1 up. The Jed Cross headed goalward. I must admit, in real time, I couldn't quite fathom out what had happened because I was so far away from it. But it was a Ballard header on goal, wasn't it? Looking at the highlights, and tipped under the crossbar, poked home by Ollie Burke.
I thought it was going in, and he was very unlucky not to get a goal himself. And then Burke was there to react. It fell straight to Burke. It would have been hard for him to miss it, but you take your luck when it comes to you, I guess.
Yeah, he did well. I mean, in real time, I couldn't fathom out what happened. It was bouncing around in the goal a lot from a long way away from where I stand. But seeing the highlights, you appreciate the execution there. And he was in the right time, right place. 3-1, that did feel like game, set and match to me at that stage, Ben. But we had a cherry on the icing. A few minutes later with Benik Afobe. Finished really nicely. Again, another long ball, wasn't it? Headed down by Jake to Benik, who put it away. It was a good day for Benik Afobe yesterday. He took a bit of criticism in the week, didn't he? From, certainly the guy who stands in front of me was most critical of Benik midweek. let's leave it there, listeners. But yesterday I thought he did well. He showed some good skill on the ball.
I'm one of his biggest supporters.
Yeah,
I think said I want us to sign him. I know he's out of contract in the summer. And I know that there's lots that don't want us to sign him or some that are less certain anyway. And I think he's a good player. I don't think he's our one and only striker. I think he's an option for us. And I think he gets the club and he likes it here. And that's a good thing for us as well.
Yeah.
So I would like us to sign him. But I was critical of him on Tuesday night. I thought he had a really poor game. But I think that the whole team did really. It wasn't a great game on Tuesday. And they've shown, the mark of a good side is you can identify when you've had a bad game and turn it round and respond to it. And they
I agree. That yesterday. Yeah. I agree. I mean, Tuesday night was bad. That was the proverbial bad night at the office. I must admit, I feared for another bad day at the office at times in the first half. But they found it in themselves, and I think that's the mark of a good side. You turn it around, and you find you dig in deep, and Mill did dig in deep yesterday. I didn't really get a sight of the late penalty shot. Everyone I was speaking to afterwards saying that Ryan Leonard was balked inside the penalty area. I didn't show it on the highlights, Ben. I don't know if you had any view of it.
It was right on the one right on the edge of the area. The ref gave a free kick.
Free kick.
I couldn't really see it clearly. There wasn't too much shouting around me. I think people sort of thought, if it was one more step, that was a penalty. But I don't really know. But at 4-1, it sort of doesn't matter, does it?
No, no, you're talking about goal difference. I think we've got problems ahead of worrying about goal difference. Well, that might come into play as we press forward. I mean, that win yesterday, I'm just trying to find the league table. I'll cut this, Ben, so it sounds like it was a segue naturally straight into the BBC website, which I don't have to hand. Here it is. Got it. So, yeah, that... I'll cut all that out, listeners, so it sounds like I'm really well prepped for the show. I've only just got out of bed, intro. So, yeah, that puts us ninth now, Ben. 4 points shy of Sheffield United in sixth, but we're in ninth, so it's still Middlesbrough and Blackburn between us. There's no beating around the bush now. We've only got five games to go. We've got to go to Preston and get another win, mate, haven't we? I can't see any other option than 3 points up at Deepdale.
I mean, I think it was during the international break, you were talking to Harry and some of the boys, and they were talking about what we needed to get into the playoffs. And we were saying things like 4 wins, 5 wins, wasn't it? It was that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we drew one and then lost one. So we're now in a sort of category of we need to get majority wins now. Five games to go. I reckon if we win four and draw one, that'll put us there. I think if we lose another one, I think
we're done for.
Yeah.
I think the midweek loss may well come to haunt us a little bit, but there we are. You can't. Cheer said you can't turn back time, and no, you can't, listeners. You can't turn back time. I think just looking at the table, Middlesbrough have played 40 games. So they've got a game in hand on us, Sheffield and Blackburn. They're on 62 points. They may see themselves, along with Sheffield United and Luton, actually on 65 as real contenders for it. But we see. All we can do is go to take each game. I mean, I was trying to work out some kind of some talking points, really. But there's only one option, which is to win every game now, really, Ben. And there aren't really any other options in town, so I suppose it narrows down the options. Who was your man of the match yesterday? I mean, I can only think of one contender personally. Who was your man of the match?
Yeah, you've got to go Danny Mac, haven't you?
Absolutely. Two-goal Danny Mac, he's known, hasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
great performance. And he actually posted on, I mean, you can just tell, he's a Millwall fan, listeners. Of course he is. We all know that. But he's tweeted that... unbelievable day to score my first 2-0 goals at the Den is a dream. Great win for the lads, and thank you for your support. It must be a dream, mustn't it? I mean, it's like you and me. I'm a bit past it now, Ben. My days of getting 2 goals at the Den from the Lions are long, long in the past. But it would be a dream, wouldn't it? That'd be wonderful.
Well, it'd be a very late career run for me if I was to make it.
It'd be an unusual choice. I think I'd have to question if he picked you, mate. no disrespect intended, of course.
if we thought Taylor Fletcher was unfortunate,
work to be done. Enjoyable game yesterday. I mean, I think that's the thing that we've recovered a little bit from. Tuesday was a disappointment. Yesterday was an enjoyable game, and it's just enjoyable to be still remotely in the mix there, Ben. Really, I mean, I don't think any of us expected this, did we, a few months back?
No, not at all. And yeah, like you say, just to have something to play for. Do you think the crowd was a bit flat yesterday?
Well, certainly first half, I agree. I think personally, I mean, you can only review these games from your own personal point of view. I just feared a little bit during the course of the first half that we were in for another Swansea type of game where, because Barnsley, I thought, were not a bad side. I mean, they struggle as a unit, but I thought they had some individual players that looked quite comfortable with the ball. And actually, especially in the second half, they seemed to bring in some quicker, younger players. And I thought, actually, there's one or two there that you could see, you know, would be great for us to poach if with our, you know, newfound championship wealth that we can go plucking jewels in the crown of other clubs. But they had some good players, I thought. And I just maybe feared at stage, even at 1-0, I don't think it was entirely a done deal. And then to go 2-0 and then give a goal away immediately put you back in, slightly back in that frame of mind. I think really once the team found it within themselves to take control of the game, which we did in fairness from that sloppy goal. We pressed ahead from there. The crowd came into it a little bit more. I think maybe we've all been in this abusive relationship too long, Ben, haven't we? We've all been disappointed so many times, you know. We just don't believe. We don't believe them anymore, do we?
No. I hope it kills you.
My wife is watching a program. It seems to go on forever, listeners, called The Split, which is forever about precisely these kinds of relationships where you build your hopes up and get disappointed constantly. So I've left her watching some episode downstairs as I record this with Ben. Give me a score prediction for Good Friday, Ben. Millwall, Preston, North End at Millwall.
I think
call it.
We've got to do it. 2-1. 2-1 win.
I like your style. I we've got to do it. I do agree. Yeah. There is no other option, really. So I'm going to go with a 1-0 win up there for the Lions. I was going to go, but it's a monster journey because the trains are all up the creek and it's all replacement service up on Good Friday as well. So I'm going to have to watch it on a stream, probably like most of us listeners. And I'll be back there again on Easter Monday. Let's hope we're still in contention come Easter. Huge thank you to Ben for taking some time out this Sunday morning, mate. I really appreciate it.
No worries, mate. No worries at all.
Good to see you again. And thank you for listening, dear listeners. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll probably be back on Friday. I might see if I can get the chaps together for a post-Preston review. Until then, thank you for listening. Arrivederci Mill from Ben and I, and see you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to Aston Millwall. If you enjoyed the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a cheeky little review. Arrivederci Millwall. Till next time.
Who do you want to watch?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.